Federal authorities are investigating three incidents in which potentially deadly ricin apparently was sent through the mail. Last October, a vial of ricin was found at a South Carolina postal facility. In November, an attempt was made to send ricin to the White House. And on Monday, white powder, later confirmed to be ricin, was found in the offices of Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist. So far, there are no reports of illness from ricin exposure. Although the Senate has continued to conduct business, Senate office buildings near the Capitol are closed. Officials say it probably will take several days before they can give the all clear and reopen the buildings. NPR's Joe Palca reports that authorities want time to investigate.
Investigators on Capitol Hill are trying to keep an open mind about the ricin incident, but there are some strong indications that the powder containing ricin arrived at the Capitol by mail. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Terrence Gaynor spoke at a news conference Tuesday afternoon.
It clearly was found in a mail room. There was letters nearby. Those letters in the materials that would be used by the mail clerk have all been seized. They're in the custody of the Capitol Police, and we are working through those now with the federal authorities.
Gaynor says not only will investigators be looking at the letters in Senator Frist's mailroom, they'll also be searching all unopened mail in all the Capitol offices on the chance that Senator Frist wasn't the only target.
As that's going on, we are quite naturally following the stream of mail, both through the United States mail system and as it works its way into the Capitol complex.
The idea, of course, is to figure out where the letter originated and who sent it. While it's unlikely whoever did this put a return address on the envelope, there may be some clues from the powder that was recovered. David Franz is senior biological scientist with Midwest Research Associates. He's an expert in biological agents, including ricin.
I think it would be possible to tell something about the quality of the laboratory and certainly the capabilities of the technologists that produced the ricin by looking at its purity. And also by looking at its formulation, what we've heard about this is that it's dry, and if there's enough material to look at particle size, that might tell us something about the capabilities of the people that did it.
In general, Franz says making smaller particles of a substance like ricin is harder and probably beyond the capabilities of an amateur biochemist.
I would guess that it's probably harder to do a good job on a dry formulation of ricin than it would be with anthrax spores, for example.
But one thing that makes ricin attractive as a poison is that at least at a crude level, it's not that hard to produce. It comes from castor beans, the same material used to make castor oil. Microbiologist Ron Atlas of the University of Louisville says bioterrorists have found uses for ricin.
Ricin's been used more as a weapon of assassination than certainly as a weapon of mass destruction, although if aerosolized and spreading, it does carry a risk of causing harm to a number of individuals. Otherwise, it's like any other poison. If you don't decide to ingest it or inject yourself with it, it provides very little risk.
For his part, David Franz agrees that finding ricin in a Capitol Hill office poses less of a threat than the anthrax bacillus did.
It's easier to deal with something like ricin, a toxin which doesn't replicate, than it is with a replicating agent like anthrax or other bacteria or even a virus. I would feel safer with a little ricin in my office than I would with a little anthrax in my office.
That may be true, but finding ricin is still scary, a reason it's considered a weapon of terror. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.
Details on ricin exposure and symptoms are at npr.org.